affecting agriculture as told by the people farming and working in our industry. We'll talk about markets and trade, share some of the latest tips and trends for grain and livestock producers, and take a look at trends impacting rural America. Join me for Farming the Countryside on many local radio stations or on your favorite podcast platform, or just go to farmingthecountryside.com.
Ugh, kitchen ants, runaway roaches, a spider! Relax, just use Zevo. Zevo bug sprays use essential oils to eliminate those pests and up to 20 household insects. Plus, Zevo is safe for use around people and pets when used as directed. Just spritz the bugs and wipe them away. Zevo, people friendly, bug deadly.
I want to learn how to cook, but I keep ordering takeout.
Accomplishing goals is hard, but when your goal is to learn a new language, Babbel makes it easy. In just 15 minutes a day, Babbel will help you start having conversations in as little as 3 weeks. Words and phrases you'll actually use. So when someone asks,
"How's your French going?"
you can say,
"Babbel facilite grandement l'apprentissage d'une nouvelle langue."
Now try Babbel for free at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com. Babbel.com.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM, Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. In Illinois, the community of Highland Park outside Chicago holding its 4th of July parade for the first time since the mass shooting 2 years ago, leaving seven dead and dozens injured. Earlier victims' families gathered for a remembrance ceremony. Sophia Mendez is granddaughter of 69-year-old victim Eduardo Uvaldo. She read a poem about the tragedy.
Seven souls departed, leaving wounds wide. In a tragedy's wake, tears never dried. Each year, July 4th, a somber display, remembrance of loss in every way.
The parade taking place along a new route. President Biden still battling calls over his poor debate performance. A senior administration official says Biden is absolutely determined to stay in the race. The president will be interviewed by ABC's George Stephanopoulos in his first televised interview since the debate. It airs Friday. Extreme heat in western states making for a dangerous holiday weekend and challenging fire crews battling several blazes. This is ABC. General Motors is being slapped with a new fine over emissions from its larger trucks and SUVs.
The Environmental Protection Agency is fining GM $146 million. The agency says certain full-size pickups and SUVs made between 2012 and 2018 emitted more than 10% more carbon dioxide than initial testing showed. They also consumed about 10% more fuel than claimed. About 40 variants of GM trucks are affected, including the Chevy Tahoe and Silverado and the Cadillac Escalade. The EPA says the trucks cannot be fixed and will remain on the road. Mike Dubusky, ABC News.
Weight loss drugs Ozempic and Wegovy are being linked to a rare form of blindness. A new study found patients taking those drugs had a higher risk of developing the condition, which is caused by a loss of blood flow to the optic nerve. But scientists say more research is needed to determine if the drugs actually cause the eye condition. The drug maker says patient safety is a top priority. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Life hack number 7. Get an iPhone 12 on Straight Talk.
Life hack.
Here's how it works. You walk into Walmart, go to the electronics section, ask for iPhone 12 with 5G and a dual camera system, and select the new Silver Unlimited plan. They'll smile because it's a good plan. You get real unlimited data all for just $20 a month for the whole first year. Get it at Walmart or StraightTalk.com. Straight Talk. Less dollars, more sense. Taxes and fees apply. Requires activation of iPhone 12 and a new Silver Unlimited plan or higher-end auto pay enrollment. $25 a month service credit applied for up to 12 months if eligibility requirements are met. For network management practices, visit StraightTalk.com.
Hi, welcome to Staples.
Hi, my son's teacher emailed his back-to-school list. He needs crayons and a comp book for every subject.
Okay, no problem. With Staples Hot Deals, you'll find super low prices on hundreds of items for back-to-school.
Oh, now they're saying he needs folders and glue.
You got it.
And markers?
Of course.
Oh, geez.
Can we get a cart? Please.
Save big on back to school with Staples Hot Deals. Right now, 24-pack Crayola crayons and comp books are only 50 cents each at Staples. Ends 8/24, in-store only, limit 30.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Aylin. A home in Walworth County was destroyed after an explosion there. Happened Tuesday afternoon in the town of Lafayette near Elkhorn. When crews arrived to respond to the blast, they found a small fire in the basement. Elkhorn Fire Chief Trent Eichmann tells Fox 6 Milwaukee they also heard a man down there.
They did hear a voice, and they established contact with the patient. Probably took approximately 35 to 40 minutes to tunnel and extricate him out of the basement.
The man was taken by Flight for Life to a hospital for treatment. There's no word on his condition. Investigators say they don't know the cause of the explosion, though they think propane had something to do with it. The state fire marshal's office is assisting with the investigation. The deaths of a woman and her son in Adams County are being investigated as a homicide. The Adams County Sheriff's Office confirmed that Tuesday after the bodies of 62-year-old Sharon Miller and her son, 38-year-old Jamie Lumby, were found buried on property in the town of Strong's Prairie. Miller's body was discovered last week Thursday, while Lumby's body was unearthed Sunday. Autopsies on the two bodies indicate both were killed. No suspects have been identified, as evidence was submitted to the Wisconsin State Crime Lab. Wisconsin gets a shot in the arm for its biohealth efforts. Following a national competition created by the U.S. Department of Commerce, the state was named one of 12 regional tech hub finalists, earning the state $49 million in federal funding to encourage biohealth manufacturing, research efforts, and job growth. Wisconsin hopes to be a global leader in personalized medicine by creating some 30,000 jobs, which will create $9 billion in economic growth in the state over the next decade. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Summer's coming in hot, so it's time to cook up some fun at Mall of America, because it's always a cool 72 and sunny here. Plus, all the summer best in one place. Join SpongeBob SquarePants 25th Anniversary Celebration. Get slimed at Nickelodeon Universe. Hit new heights on the Fly with Opera ride and Boots Banana Swing. It's shopping nirvana, Crayola Experience Creativity, Hangout Heaven. Go all in on summer, all at Mall of America. MallofAmerica.com/summer.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
Scattered showers and thunderstorms are likely today, especially this afternoon. Our high right around 81 today. Tonight, showers and thunderstorms 60. Tomorrow, more scattered thunderstorms, high of 69. Could be some heavy rain with a half inch to an inch or more through tomorrow. Kick your summertime barbecue up a notch with Grandpa's Barbecue Sauce. It's made from Grandpa's original recipe, and this stuff is wicked good. Grandpa'sBBQShop.com. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 68.
Well, happy 4th of July holiday weekend. Thanks for being with us here on AOA, Agriculture of America. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Great to have you along for the conversation as we talk about farming, ranching, and issues impacting rural America. We're going to have a best of program coming up here, segments 2, 3, and 4. Going to listen back to some recent conversations that we've had on the show that I thought were interesting and worth a second listen. We're going to listen back to the conversation we had with Fran Miller from the University of Vermont Law, talking about heirs' property, an issue that's been around for a long time that could have an impact on your operation potentially. We're going to listen to that coming up in segment 2. In segment 3, tar spot continues to be an issue nationwide. Tyler Vrugdenhill, Channel Seeds agronomist in Nebraska. We talked to him last week about tar spot, and he shares some do's and don'ts and tips for managing tar spot in our cornfields. We're going to get to that conversation coming up at segment 3. And then also recently I talked with Taz Smith from the National Cotton Council about certain issues that they're following, including the farm bill and more. Also the growing season, how things are going for cotton across the South. We're going to listen back to that conversation coming up here later in the show as well. First up, though, let's take a look at some news headlines here on our July 4th edition of AOA. The U.S. Meat Export Federation recently held the first U.S. red meat symposium in Mexico, supported by USDA, the Beef Checkoff Program, and the National Pork Board. It brought together U.S. suppliers with importers from across Mexico, according to U.S. MEF Mexico Director Gerardo Rodriguez.
Today we have 25 companies attending us, exhibiting their products, sampling the products. But not only that, we have people from all over the country. We have people coming from the Mayan Riviera region, all the way to Tijuana, Chihuahua, Jalisco, in Guadalajara, Monterrey. All the country is being represented here by key players. So this is a great platform to keep developing and increasing the networking, using this event also to show and demonstrate all the different new product development that we have been doing in Mexico.
U.S. MEF Chair Randy Spronk, a pork producer from Minnesota, says the symposium sent an important message for the Mexican market.
To me, it shows the importance of Mexico. We're standing on top of not only years but decades worth of work to grow the market in Mexico to U.S. beef, pork, and lamb. And I think this is a culmination where we realize that Mexico, the importance they are to U.S. producers, not only on the red meat side, but also the corn and soybean producers here, on the value of the market that we have here.
And while Mexico is a leader for U.S. beef, pork, and lamb exports, it should not be seen as a mature market, according to U.S. Meat Export Federation President and CEO Dan Hallstrom.
It's only mature in a sense that we've been doing business here for more than 40 years as an industry. The market is anything but mature. There's all sorts of subsectors that are developing. And one that we don't often talk about is the convenience store sector. OXXO chain has 22,000 outlets here. And they're starting to use beef and pork products and different concepts in their stores. It's a large market. It's a historical market, but it's by no means a fully evolved market.
And you can learn more online. Just go to usmef.org. That's usmef.org. Well, with disastrous flooding going on in the Midwest, it is important to remember the do's and don'ts of grain impacted by floodwater. Dr. Charles Herberg of the Iowa Grain Quality Initiative says the first thing to remember about flooded grain under moving river water, it is considered adulterated.
That means it can't go into trade and market channels. Well, the reason is pretty simple. There were how many sewage treatment plants were overtopped in northwest Iowa? It was 20-some, I think.
With grain impacted by water, Herberg says you can try to get the good stuff off the top.
Get a good sample and have it graded, including tested for mycotoxins, because even though it was sitting above the floodwater, it's been very humid, and we could have had mold growth and toxin production in it.
Herberg says the Iowa Department of Agriculture and Land Stewardship will notify producers of grain salvage situations. However, the grain in the water exposed to mycotoxins, heavy metals, and sewage needs to be disposed of.
In 2019, the DNR allowed land application, in other words, a manure spreader, to get rid of it over land surface. And I expect that that's the same situation this year, but if you have that situation, you should contact the DNR.
As he said before, this applies to the grain under flooded river water, but Herberg adds there is a difference between that versus the barnyard alone filling up with water.
It can be salvaged, and there's where the IDALS comes insofar as giving permission to what tests need to be run and so forth.
The last flood recommendation was to take a sample to an official grader.
And it may be that we'll be able to use it again. Once dried out. But if it had river water going through it, no, it can't be used. It's a land application situation.
And once again, that is Dr. Charles Herberg with the Iowa Grain Quality Initiative. Also, Farm Rescue continuing its work to aid farmers who need help. Dan Erdman, Marketing Program Manager for Farm Rescue, talks about their mission.
Our whole goal is to help farm families in a time of crisis, whether that be a major injury, illness, or natural disaster. We can bring in the volunteers and equipment to help during any time of the growing season. Planting, we make some hay, we do some hay hauling, we can feed livestock. So just basically trying to fill in those gaps wherever they might be in need of support.
They've helped a lot of farmers since beginning operations in 2005.
We've helped over 1,100 farm families throughout that time. And again, it's all thanks to the ultimate team effort. It's volunteers. It's our small staff. It's a tremendous support system of sponsors and individual donors that believe in this mission and help us extend that helping hand to those farm families in times of crisis.
And Farm Rescue has officially added Wisconsin to its growing list of service states.
Launching into Wisconsin is always a challenge when we launch those operations in a new area because we're just not well known. There's no track record and it's about gaining trust. And that's always kind of the biggest hurdle for us because people see us as, why would we want these outsiders to come in and help on our operation? And the greatest thing I can say to put people's minds at ease, those families' minds at ease, is that it's neighbors helping neighbors. It's an age old concept. That's what Farm Rescue is all about. It's just that our neighbors come from a little bit further down the road.
And for more information on how Farm Rescue can help when trouble strikes, just go to their website, farmrescue.org. And finally, Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack said the House Ag Committee did too good a job of trying to satisfy everyone with a bill that boosts spending on farm programs and research. Speaking late last week at a summer meals program in Omaha, the secretary also noted the House plan seeks to cut $27 billion from nutrition programs over 10 years. Vilsack said, quote, "It's a bill that I think is very politically astute from the standpoint that it offered members of that committee a lot of what they asked for. It was fantastic. It satisfied a lot of constituencies. Everybody, for the most part, is reasonably happy, except you have got to pay for it. Therein lies the issue," end quote. Now, the reference price increase helps producers of 22 crops nationally, but also shifts funds from people who need nutrition assistance to larger commodity programs. The bill also provides too much support to the largest commodity farmers compared to farmers who rely on other USDA programs for support, according to Secretary Vilsack. So some more comments from the Ag Secretary as we continue to have this back and forth debate and fight over a new farm bill. All right, coming up next here on AOA, we are going to have our best of program for the rest of the show. Up next, we will listen back to the recent conversation, learning more about Ayers property and what it could mean for your operation or could potentially impact your operation. We'll talk with Fran Miller from the University of Vermont Law next on AOA. We have some exciting news to share. The National Corn Growers Association, along with AOA, are heading back to Washington, D.C. for the monthly grind. Tune in on Tuesday, July 18th for our special year anniversary episode. I'll be broadcasting live from Corn Congress in Washington, D.C., and we'll be reflecting on the year and what's ahead, along with current priorities of NCGA's Market Development Action Team. Make sure to listen to AOA on Tuesday, July 18th. It's a show you don't want to miss.
We've been fighting the war on drugs for a long time. We answer the phone 24/7, 365 days a year. On a busy night, we answer hundreds of calls. This war on drugs needs our intervention.
Since 2014, Addiction Hope and Helpline has helped people struggling with drugs and alcohol.
When the phone rings, we help people when they need it the most. When we get a caller into treatment, it feels good. It's a blessing.
If you're struggling, drinking, using, and need to get clean, don't suffer alone in silence. Call Addiction Hope and Helpline.
Our people understand, and many are also in recovery. Call for support and strength. You can call for someone who can't or isn't willing. It's an act of love. Together, we can help you beat this thing and erase addiction from your vocabulary once and for all.
Call 800-320-1993. That's 800-320-1993. 800-320-1993.
If you miss an episode of Market Talk, you can listen back to the show anytime. Just search for Market Talk on your podcast platform of choice, and you can hear past episodes of the program on demand.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit wicorn.org and become a member today.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges, and our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
Welcome back to AOA as we continue our best of program here today. Let's listen back to my conversation earlier this week with Fran Miller from the University of Vermont Law talking about heirs property. What happens when a farm owner dies without a will or estate planning? Who has the right to the land? Well, it could be a complicated answer. We're talking about the term heirs property, helping us to kind of go through this, untangle it a little bit, talk about the different scenarios, et cetera, et cetera. Pleased to welcome her back to the show. We had her on a few months back. She's a senior staff attorney and adjunct faculty at the Center for Agriculture and Food Systems at the Vermont Law and Graduate School. Fran Miller's with us here today on AOA. Fran, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Thanks so much, Jesse. Happy to be here.
Well, set this up for us. And when we talk about the term heirs property, maybe it would be good to start with a little bit of an overview, maybe more so than what I kind of laid out there in the open. What exactly is heirs property if we're looking for a definition of it?
Sure. I'll share with your listeners. It's interesting that you used the word tangle, untangle in your intro of this, because heirs property is actually called a whole lot of different things depending on where in the country you are. So some people call it tangled title. Some people call it inherited lands. There's lots of different terms. But really what it's describing is a property that is owned by a family or family members, usually definitely more than one family member, that has been acquired by that family member through inheritance. And the title to that property is still in the name of the ancestor who originally purchased the property. So, for example, I have a friend in Missouri. His dad died. He didn't have a will. The property is still in the name of his dad. The way that it passes is different in each state, because if you die without a will, your property passes by what's legally called intestate succession. And so those are the laws that govern who are the heirs, who actually is entitled to inherit the property if there is no will. So with my friend in Missouri, his dad was a farmer. He owned a farm and he didn't have a will. And there's three kids and the mom had already passed. So in Missouri, if dad dies, the three kids are entitled to own the land as tenants in common. And what that means is that they all own the whole piece of land. They don't own a third, a third, a third. Mm-hmm. They have a third, a third, a third interest in the land, but that interest really covers the whole property, thus the tenants in common. And that can result in a whole lot of issues, because I don't know about you, but family is family.
I couldn't agree more. And this whole topic is something that I know, I mean, this is not new. This has been around for quite some time. I mean, you know, we're talking back to when slavery was abolished by the 13th Amendment. I mean, this is something that's been around for hundreds of years that we've had to deal with issues surrounding heirs property, right?
Yes, Jesse. Heirs property and the vulnerabilities of holding land in that way impacts everyone who dies without a will, and their kids and then their kids' kids and then their kids' kids' kids inherit. It has had a particularly devastating impact in the African-American community because, of course, Black people who were enslaved went on to do the thing that many Americans did in those days. They amassed land, acquired land in any way that they possibly could. And that meant something specific for Black folks in those days, because these were the days of major discrimination racially and Jim Crow laws. And it meant something very particular to African Americans to own a piece of land, because you were a bit more protected in that way, and you could provide protection to others. So African Americans acquired 19 million acres of land by 1910. However, that number has dipped precipitously so that in 2007, literally under 3 million acres were owned by Black folks. And there are a lot of reasons for that, a lot of discriminatory reasons for that, including holding land as heirs property because it's really subject to loss in a variety of ways.
Well, talk about this a little bit. As you see various cases surrounding this, and back to that term of untangling things a little bit here, I mean, what are some of the biggest challenges that you have seen in terms of heirs property issues across the country?
Sure. So the thing about heirs property is that you do not have clear title. When you own a piece of land, you have a deed, and that deed lists the owners on that deed. And that deed allows you to refinance your property, to take out some dollars to send your kids to college, or it allows you to refinance to buy a tractor, or it allows you to use your property as collateral for a loan. If you don't have clear title, in other words, if the title, the deed is still in the name of the ancestor and not in your name or your siblings' names or your co-owners' names, then you can't use that land, that property, to build wealth. So you can't participate in many USDA programs. You can't go to a bank and use it as collateral. It's a very rough way to hold the property because you can't use it for a lot of productive purposes. In most states, you can't sell timber off the land if you don't have clear title. So it really limits what you're able to do. And one other thing I want to point out is that one of the ways that African Americans and others have lost land, there's something called a partition action. So in places where there has been significant real estate development, Hilton Head, for example, other places on the shorelines, developers have come in and they buy an interest from one of the heirs. And they say, hey, you know, we'll just give you a couple of $1,000 for your interest. Nothing's going to happen. But then they turn around and go to court and bring a partition action to ask a court to sell the property so that they can get the value of their interest. And oftentimes, especially in previous days, but still to this day, you know, there might have been the developer might know the judge or might know some of the court personnel or might know the local sheriff. So there was just a lot of shenanigans that went on to the detriment of the original owners of the land.
I think when I look at all of this, and this is a newer topic for me to look at, you know, personally, I'll admit, I feel like it comes back to, at least in this day and age, talking about the importance of having that estate plan, succession plan, will, you name it, having things cut, dry, and clear, as much as I know that could be tough with certain family dynamics, trying to establish those is so important, isn't it, Fran?
Jesse, that is critical to preventing heirs property and to preventing the continuation of heirs property. I'm actually part of a network of lawyers called the Heirs Property Practitioner Network. And we had a meeting, we have monthly educational meetings. And last month we had three lawyers on a panel who talked specifically to this issue. It's so important for all those folks out there to talk about death. It's such a difficult topic to breach with elders, and depending on your culture, there's cultural norms. But in the U.S., we have these laws and we have to abide by them because they govern once you die. And so if you don't want to just force your family to have to deal with these issues after you die, it's so much better to come up with an estate plan, to draft a will, to divide your assets. You know, oftentimes there'll be the property, but then there's other assets. So it might be that one kid wants to farm and stay on the farm, and the other kids are not even on the farm. They've moved to California or Chicago or New York. And so it's really important for families to have honest conversations about these things and get these things done.
Well, you can learn more about Ayers property online at farmlandaccess.org. Again, that is Fran Miller with the University of Vermont Law Center for Agriculture and Food Systems. All right, coming up next on our Best Of program on AOA, we'll talk tar spot with Tyler Vrugden-Hill from Channel on the way right after this.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready. And health insurance is your financial safety net. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-760-9937. That's 800-760-9937. 800-760-9937.
Stay clean and dry while doing chores around the farm with waterproof gear from UtterTech. From waterproof bibbed overalls, aprons, pouches, jackets, and more, UtterTech has the workwear to keep you clean, dry, and working efficiently on the farm. Just machine wash and dry, and your UtterTech workwear is ready to go for the next day. UtterTech has products for veterinarians, poultry, swine, goat farmers, and even kids, too. See all the UtterTech products designed to help you on the farm at UtterTechInc.com.
Together, we're living in a smart rural community. A smart rural community is connected by a fiber optic broadband network for economic development, education, healthcare, government services, security, and more. 24/7 in West Wisconsin Telecom is a small local company with a big vision to develop and maintain a fiber optic broadband network that connects smart rural communities from the ground up. To learn more about smart rural communities, visit 24/7 in West Wisconsin Telecom online at wwt.net.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel. If you're not into the whole added power thing, Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
There are better known tractors in the world than Coyote. Ones with bigger names, longer histories, more popular hats, cute toy lines. But there's not a single tractor ever been built that's better equipped to do the dirty work. So we'll just focus on what really matters. Coyote, we dig dirt.
Dig some dirt with a Coyote tractor now available at Anabu Silo, Highway 25, Durand.
Farm First Dairy Cooperative wants to recognize our hardworking dairy farm families. The hours are long and the job is tough. That's why Farm First Dairy Cooperative is driven to help farmers with milk marketing, advocate for policy change, train young farm leaders, and is one of the only cooperatives to offer milk loss disaster benefits to members. Thank you, dairy farm families, for all of your hard work. Visit farmfirstdairycooperative.com to learn more about how Farm First puts farm families first.
How do you measure the human spirit? In pounds? In milliliters? In the distance traveled between yesterday and today? Or maybe there's no way to measure the human spirit, because as you remind us every day, it simply has no limit. Learn more about how we care for your whole body, mind, and spirit at AdventHealth.com.
Information.
information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA as we continue our best of program here today. Happy 4th of July holiday to you and yours. Really feels like an extended weekend, even with the 4th on a Thursday. And some folks have to work on July 5th and the markets are open on July 5th, things like that. Still a lot of folks taking an extra vacation day to have an extended weekend. So hopefully you get to enjoy, stay safe, stay happy, stay smart. If you are around any fireworks here over the next couple of days. And of course, hopefully you get to enjoy some fireworks and some time with your family and friends. Well, in this next segment, just a little over a week ago, we had a conversation with Tyler Vrugdenhill. He's an agronomist with Channel Seeds in Nebraska. We talked to Tyler about tar spot, of course, a disease that is continuing its spread across the corn belt, such a yield-robbing disease in corn that is new and still we're kind of playing catch-up in some degree, to some degree, in mitigating the spread of tar spot and controlling the damage that it can create. So we're going to listen back to that conversation we had with Tyler, talking about some of his tips and tricks for managing tar spot, finding it, et cetera, et cetera. Here's that conversation with Tyler Vrugdenhill from Channel Seeds. And joining us now here on the programs, we have a conversation about tar spot and how we could best look for and manage tar spot in our fields. It's an ever-growing problem across the Corn Belt. Joining us now for that conversation, Channel Technical Agronomist Tyler Vrugdenhill is with us here today on the show. Tyler, thanks for being with us. Hope you're doing well.
Hey, I really appreciate the invitation. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's just start and kind of give us a setup for tar spot here, so to speak. I think we've started to learn as we've been managing this this issue here at the Corn Belt. We started to learn that weather conditions play a big role in the spread of tar spot and its development. So just to start, kind of give us that overview. What are some of the key conditions and things we need to look out for when it comes to tar spot, Tyler?
Very, very weather dependent disease. And when we think about the infection development of tar spot, it's really favored by a couple key things. So cool temperatures, anywhere from that 60 to 70 degree Fahrenheit, humid conditions. Now, when I say humid, that's a different term to everybody, but really looking above 75% relative humidity and at least 7 hours of leaf wetness. Now, leaf wetness can be due to a number of things: rain, fog, dew, or even overhead irrigation. So when I think about my home state here in Nebraska, obviously a lot of concern around the irrigation part of that, but that's really the perfect storm for tar spot to build and develop in a field situation.
All right. Well, what about scouting for tar spot? Obviously, you know, we encourage producers to get out there and scout their fields as much as they can, or, you know, maybe take a drone out there and do some scouting, whatever the case is. So do you have any tips for proper scouting of fields for tar spot?
So I've kind of got a couple boxes that I like to think about and check now that this disease has been one that we've had to deal with in the Corn Belt. It's still relatively new, but there are some things we want to think about. So tar spot overwinters really well on residue. So number one, I always want to think about the fields that I know have had a history with this disease. They're going back into corn production. That moves those fields to the top of my list. Another thing is tar spot really favors the high input, high production type acre. So those fields were high productivity. Again, we're putting them back into corn production. Those are kind of things that I think about. Hey, those might have some better conditions for tar spot to show up. Again, we go back to fields like with no-till and minimum till. We've talked about how well it overwinters on residue. So if this isn't a conventional till type field where that residue is going to stay around longer, those are also fields that I'm probably going to think about bumping up on the scouting list to try and look at. The big thing, if I'm in a field situation and I think there's a potential lesion that looks like it, I'm going to take that leaf, I'm going to rub it in between my fingers and between the leaf surface. So why we do this is a lot of times it'll get misconstrued for insect frass or even some other plant diseases that could be in the field. Those are all going to rub off that leaf surface. Tar spot lesions are not. So again, to be really, really certain, and confirm that it is tar spot. The big thing is I would say submit samples to that local land grant university system. A lot of university pathologists are working together to confirm these, and then they will update the tar spots map that's actually through the Crop Protection Network and make sure that it shows up as a confirmation. The other piece I will say is if you're watching that map of the entire Corn Belt that tar spot is involved with and they're tracking the development of confirmed counties, just because you don't have a confirmed county on there today doesn't mean the disease isn't necessarily present. It's just that somebody hasn't confirmed that. So again, if there is any source of a doubt, be in contact with your local seed professional and your local bear representative and have them out there in the field and help go through the diagnosis process with you.
That's a great point, Tyler. You know, I think about, we just saw it confirmed in Kansas here just a couple of weeks ago. And yeah, you know, so we continue to see that westward migration, that northern migration of tar spot here across the country. I would assume as well, scouting early and often is probably going to be helpful here, especially if you're trying to time any fungicide applications or things like that, or at least trying to get ahead of it before it's too late, right?
Yeah, 100%. And again, that continuous checking, whether that's a consultant agronomist or your seed professional, that's going to be key in staying ahead of this disease, especially if the weather patterns that we've seen hold with the above average precipitation amounts that we've seen in some areas. Now, the other key is going to be sometimes with this disease, we're starting to see that multiple fungicide applications might be necessary to control it. So again, that's going to be a localized recommendation to work through with your seed professional and your Bayer representative to really what that plan of action is given the disease history in your area.
We're talking with Channel technical agronomist Tyler Vrugdenhill here today on the show about tar spot. Tyler, any other key management tips or tricks you could share when it comes to defending against tar spot?
Tar spot is going to continue to be a tiered approach. And what I mean by that is it's not a one-step solution system in the fact that we want to continuously be scouting. We want to be continuously thinking about residue management. In some cases, if our inoculum load or a residue load in that field gets too much, thinking about going to a non-host crop such as soybeans with crop rotation, looking at resistant cultivars, and then obviously a fungicide application, all being viable options for defense of this disease. So for tar spot specifically, research is still suggesting the best time to spray most fungicides labeled for tar spot, including Bayer's Dallara Complete, is still going to be that VT to R1 growth stage. And when tar spot was present in Bayer 2023 trials, Dallara Complete reduced disease severity by 64% and resulted in a positive 9-bushel yield advantage.
Well, you talk about research. I know as well there's been a lot of research being done to develop new traits that are more tolerant to tar spot. And I know, Bayer, you guys have done a lot of work there as well. Can you share some more details on that for our listeners here, Tyler?
Yeah, I'm really proud to say Bayer Crop Science as a whole has achieved a very significant advancement in our research of how to combat this disease, and that's the ability to inoculate tar spot in field test plots. So really the objective here overall is to study genetic response to the presence of this disease. And this is going to help us identify and promote new corn products that have an enhanced tolerance to the disease. So historically, it's always been, hey, Mother Nature creates the field environment. We get the disease present and we go take advantageous ratings in the field. Now field testing allows us to create tar spot wherever we place test plots to really help address this potentially very devastating disease. So we are going to continue to focus on weather factors like temperature, humidity, and rainfall to help predict where tar spot may develop and how severe it could get.
Well, I know as well, Bayer, you guys have launched a tar spot landing page online that could kind of be a one-stop shop for folks if they want some more information. They're looking online, et cetera, et cetera. Listeners, farmers can visit the website. It's a little bit of a long one. I'll give it to you real quick. CropScience.Bayer.us/C. tar-spot-guide. We'll also post that on our website, social media as well, for folks to find easily. Tyler, appreciate the time and the insights here talking tar spot with us today. Real quick before we let you go, I know, of course, you mentioned you're there in Nebraska in the Kearney area. How's the crop looking so far in the early part of the growing season, whether we're talking irrigated, non-irrigated, et cetera? How's things looking right now?
Yeah, so the area I cover, we've been really, really blessed, except I'd say maybe for the extreme southeast portion of my area, we've caught some timely rains. We're set up better than we have been the past two growing seasons. So expectations remain high. I think a lot of guys are starting that first round of irrigation this week along with fertigation. So, again, expectations are high at this point. We look really, really good. We've had a couple really nice weeks of enhanced temperatures, which have allowed that crop to really grow and develop at a rapid pace. So, you know, bring on good growing season conditions and keep away the wind and hail, and we're happy in Nebraska. So,
well, and keep away the tar spot, too, as much as we possibly can. Appreciate the time and the conversation talking about tar spot management and more with that channel, technical agronomist in Nebraska, Tyler Vrugdenhill. Tyler, thanks for joining us on the program today. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Once again, my recent conversation there with Tyler Vrugdenhill from Channel Seeds talking about tar spot. All right, coming up next here on our Best of AOA, before we run out of time, we'll listen back to a conversation I had a few weeks ago with Taz Smith from the National Cotton Council. That's next on AOA.
The American cowboy is everything that makes this country great.
There's a freedom to being a cowboy.
Being a cowgirl is not a safe, easy path, but it's one that's very rewarding.
The American cowgirl is dedicated to her livestock. She's dedicated to her country, and she's dedicated to her family.
The American cowboy is honest.
We're the backbone of how this country was founded.
There's a whole lot of legacy that goes along with being a cowboy, and I'm honored to be a part of it.
Boot Barn, keep west.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Jake from State Farm. I'm winning. I finally cleaned my house, so I'm breaking out my new tropical room spray.
Keep winning and create an affordable price just for you by bundling your home and auto with the State Farm Personal Price Plan. It's like your own personal paradise.
Ooh, hey, grab me a coconut water.
Bundling, just another way to save with a personal price plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
I want to learn how to cook, but I keep ordering takeout.
Accomplishing goals is hard, but when your goal is to learn a new language, Babbel makes it easy. In just 15 minutes a day, Babbel will help you start having conversations in as little as 3 weeks. Words and phrases you'll actually use. So when someone asks,
"How's your French going?"
you can say,
"Babbel facilite grandement l'apprentissage d'une nouvelle langue."
Now try Babbel for free at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com. Babbel.com.
These awareness partners.
Every Tuesday, we'll be sitting around the table, sponsored by CHS. Join us and learn how CHS creates the vital connections that empower agriculture, helping farmers and ranchers like you succeed. We'll hear from different voices from throughout the cooperative system, sharing stories about how good things happen when people work together. Join us around the table every Tuesday or visit cooperativeownership.com to learn more.
A careless driver can change your life in an instant. Do you know what to do or who to call? If you've been injured in a motor vehicle accident and don't have an attorney, call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free consultation. We can answer all of your questions and estimate the potential value of your case. Call Auto Accident Help Desk and connect with an expert personal injury attorney.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Don't worry how to handle your medical bills, lost wages, and pain. We will get you the money you deserve.
They got me way more than the insurance company offered.
The consultation is free, and you don't pay any legal fees unless we win or settle your case. Make the smart call if you've been injured in an auto accident. Call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free legal consultation. Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Auto Accident Help Desk.
When news happens in agriculture or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
The landscape of media has changed, and people are more skeptical than ever about where they get their news and information. While major news outlets show decreasing credibility, your local farm radio station still shows strong marks. In a recent survey, farmers rated information from their farm broadcasters as almost twice as reliable as major news outlets. Farm radio continues to be transparent, honest, and trustworthy. This message brought to you by the National Association of Farm Broadcasting.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
Welcome back to our Best of AOA program. Let's listen back to a recent conversation I had with the VP of Producer Affairs for the National Cotton Council, Taz Smith, starting with his thoughts on this year's cotton crop.
Well, Jesse, I think we're off to a very good start. We've got a lot of moisture in Texas right now. There's been some hail scattered a little bit around the high plains, but overall things are off to a really good start. We've got about 80% of the cotton crop planted belt wide. The Southeast is off to a really good start as well. The Mid-South, we had a little bit of late planting due to some excessive moisture, but overall I think things are off to a very good start across the belt.
Well, and that's a good thing. You know, I know in terms of the cotton markets, you know, been volatile as of late, things like that, but I know producers for the most part here looking for a good solid year all around in terms of getting a good cotton crop here in 2024, aren't they, Taz?
They are. Market prices have really fallen since earlier this year. Cost of production have continued to skyrocket since COVID-19. So we're really in a situation where a lot of growers are underwater financially right now. So we're in a farm bill year this season. Hopefully we're going to get something done by the end of this year. But I think the getting a new farm bill done is going to be very critical for growers to get the safety net in line more to where cost of production is currently.
Yeah, let's talk about that farm bill a little bit more. I'm glad you brought that up. Looking at the farm bill, I know we've seen some movement on a new five-year bill. We've been talking with lawmakers. We just talked on yesterday's show with Senator John Bozeman of Arkansas, the ranking member on the Senate Ag Committee. What are NCC's thoughts on this farm bill situation, priorities moving forward? I know you mentioned that safety net is one. What have you heard from cotton growers, their needs, their wants in a new farm bill here, Tess?
Well, I think one of the most important things for our producers is to get the reference price more in line with cost of production. We've seen, as I mentioned, skyrocket since COVID-19. We've had two really good proposals right now. You mentioned Senator Bozeman, his proposal that was released last week will increase reference prices across the board by an average of 15%. That's good news for cotton producers. House Ag Committee Chairman G.T. Thompson, the bill that was passed out of the committee back on May 27th, would increase that reference price for seed cotton from 36.7 to 42 cents. Really, we get that reference price more in line to where cost of production is to right now, so where you'd have a good safety net for growers. when the futures market declines anywhere to kind of the 90 cent to less range, you would see a good safety net start to trigger for growers. And I think that's really what's needed right now. It's tough times for cotton farmers where cost of production is well to where the market prices are currently trading in the low 70s.
Well, of course, you know, trying to get a farm bill done is always a bit of a heavy lift, and it needs to be a bipartisan effort. And I know that we've had a lot of partisanship going on in D.C. right now. And, you know, there's still some optimism, it feels like, about getting a farm bill done yet this calendar year. What have you heard in terms of that? Does it feel like we still can get some compromise to happen here and figure all these moving pieces out and get a farm bill done before the end of the year?
I'm optimistic, Jesse. I really am. I'm hoping after the elections, things will kind of calm down and you'll see a lame duck Congress try to work together, pass a budget, but also work to try to get a compromise on a farm bill. We were very excited in the House bill to see a bipartisan vote on that. We had two congressmen from the Cotton Belt states, Don Davis from North Carolina and Congressman Sanford Bishop from Georgia, vote for the bill in committee. So that's optimistic. That's positive news. I think on the House front, they're going to look to move in appropriations bills between now and September. At that front, we could see the House focus on a farm bill. But I think at the end of the day, most likely after the election, we'll start to see some compromise between what the Senate puts forward and what the House Ag Committee has put forth in their compromise proposal.
We're talking with Taz Smith, the VP of Producer Affairs for the National Cotton Council, here today on AOA. Let's talk some other issues, Taz. Dicamba, I know, has been a big one for cotton growers and soybean growers here in the last few months. We're monitoring the situation in the courts. We got some new proposed labels, I know, in the news recently for cotton application. Any thoughts on this process and why it's important for farmers to have the use of over-the-top dicamba application for various cotton varieties?
It's very critical. It was really devastating for growers. We lost the dicamba label back on February the 6th. I will say EPA is really working well with us. They understand the need of this product, particularly for over-the-top post-emergence use. We have seen Bayer file a label on their Extended Max variety. That comment period has now closed. BASF has filed a label for their Ingenia variety. That comment period is open through July the 5th. So we're urging growers to make comment in support of those labels. The council's doing the very, very same thing. It's very critical that we have the mode of actions that we need for next crop to deal with peak weeds and Roundup resistant weeds. It's very, very critical. And we're urging EPA to approve these labels for next year without any mitigations that make the products unusable.
Well, I think about this, too, when it comes to dicamba and any product, for that matter, that's in the toolbox for farmers. When you start taking some of those proven tools out of the toolbox and limit the options that growers have to protect their crop, it makes things that much more difficult, doesn't it?
It does. And we've seen in the past, we've had to hand-pick pigweeds in the past. That's been a very big issue. But one of the things that the consumer needs to remember about these products, they do an excellent job of helping growers use less tillage, but keeps more carbon in, sequesters more carbon, which is very, very critical in this process. And the talk around climate smart agriculture is a big thing right now. And these are important parts of the toolbox to be able to continue to do those practices.
Taz, real quick, we just got about a minute or so. Anything else that we haven't mentioned or anything you want to reiterate for folks listening in today?
I really would encourage growers, cotton producers that are listening, to continue to engage with members of Congress about the ports of this farm bill. We've got to have some assistance this year to help the producer segment. You know, we've had 2 or 3 years now with no PLC payment for growers. It's been a challenge out there with these production costs. And I really continue to urge you to talk to members of Congress, urge them to support this farm bill, and get us a good safety net done by the end of this year.
Fantastic. I couldn't agree more. We definitely need to see a lot of that for our farmers and ranchers across the country. With that, Taz Smith, the Vice President of Producer Affairs with the National Cotton Council. Find them online, cotton.org. Taz, thanks for joining us on Agriculture of America today. We'll look forward to having you back on the show again soon.
My pleasure, Jesse. Thanks for having me.
Once again, my recent conversation with Taz Smith from the National Cotton Council. We're out of time on this Best of AOA program for the 4th of July. Coming up on our next program, we'll have our July Farmer Roundtable conversation. We'll also talk with Tillman White from the Cotton Trust Protocol. Have a happy and safe 4th of July. I'm Jesse Allen. Thanks for listening to AOA. We have some exciting news to share. The National Corn Growers Association, along with AOA, are heading back to Washington, D.C. for the monthly grind. Tune in on Tuesday, July 18th for our special year anniversary episode. I'll be broadcasting live from Corn Congress in Washington, D.C., and we'll be reflecting on the year and what's ahead, along with current priorities of NCGA's Market Development Action Team. Make sure to listen to AOA on Tuesday, July 18th. It's a show you don't want to miss.
Don't risk losing the trusted news, traffic, sports, and weather you get from AM radio stations. It's time to make your voice heard. We need Congress to pass the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act to keep AM radio in cars. When internet and cell services are out, AM could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to pass this critical legislation now.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Are you looking for more in this world? Are you ready for something bigger? Then we are looking for you. The big-hearted, the bold, the messy, and the gutsy. The teacher.
The wait is over. Dell Technologies Black Friday and July deals are live. Check out incredible savings on select laptops and more, like the XPS 15, powered by Intel Core processors. The XPS 15 brings you the perfect balance of power and portability, plus stellar